homework if you're going to make a motion about it.
Turn with me your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. 1 Timothy 6. Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. Okay, Sister Lorna?
Yes?
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, okay, good. Now, let's read it now from verse 11 to 16. Lord, open our eyes that we might see the wonderful truths out of thy law, and grant us the grace, Lord, to put them and apply them tonight in our lives and the rest of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be glory and power and everlasting. Amen. Now, this truth, this instruction, this is a charge to the Paul's protege, the son in the faith, which is Timothy. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy in these verses, which are very relevant, not only during his time, but even to every one of us today who professes to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and who profess to love him and continue to love him and proclaim him as the Lord and Savior of our lives, and others who are yet to be saved. Let's look at verse 11. But be thou, O man of God, flee from these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, the word flee here, it's very important for us to think about and meditate upon it. We must flee the vices condemned by the apostles in verse 3 to 10. If you can see, if any man teach others and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Right? He's proud, knowing nothing, but doing about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, or evil things that comes from that evil mouth. Perverse disputings of men, unnecessary perverse talk of corrupt minds, and this destitute of the truth. So when these men are argumentative and hurt other people, they are destitute of truth. They don't know the teaching of the Word of God. Although they profess to know the Word of God, but when they argue and continue to cause pain among others, that man is destitute of the truth. Although he knows something, but he's destitute. He's proving himself nothing. Even perhaps he's not a believer, or she's not a believer. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. That's a warning for those who love money and the popularity that this world gives and tempt through money and being tempted to gather more for the flesh. We can carry nothing, and it's certain that we will not bring all these things with us when we die. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Right? Let's not look for something that is in our inability to have. Let's be contented with what the Lord gives. Okay? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare. Those are wealthy in material things. They fall into various temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And we can see the evidence every day around the world, all the bad news that we see in front of our eyes, in our mobiles, in the newspaper, and even what we witness around us. And then in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's a sad picture, isn't it? When the vices that we are supposed to be pleading about are condemned by the apostle in what we just read, which is pride, obsession with arguments about things which have no bearing on the godly life and faith and Christian faith, false teaching, envy, and the love of money. They were all put together. And in verse 11 also, the word, go back to verse 11, the word pursue. Yeah? Look at that. And follow after righteousness. That is the word pursue. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I have that word in other version, but in King James, is follow after. That is what it means. Pursue these things. We are to run away from error and sinful attitudes and practices, and run after righteousness. That is what we are commanded, and what Paul is commanding Timothy, to run after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. The man or woman of God is concerned to please the Lord by leading a godly life. Another very good word that that Timothy was commanded by Paul in verse 12 is the word fight. Look at that verse quickly with me. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul already encouraged Timothy to wage the good warfare, the good fight of faith. In fact, it is also mentioned in chapter 1. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 18, which is strongly indicated by Paul to Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. What a fatherly figure to him, isn't it? He cares so much for this man, for this man of God. This charge I unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. That means fight the good fight of faith. That is also Paul's instruction to us, not only to Timothy. That's why it's relevant to us as well. So, in this battle, in this spiritual battle, not only for Timothy, but for us, there is a battle for truth that is before us, against false teachers, against those who pass untruths about other people. That is also Paul's teaching. Those who continually spread false teaching and false allegations, because they are actually corrupt. They don't have the truth in them. And that's why they are called false teachers. Their main goal is to destroy rather than gather. He continually encouraged or urged Timothy, his friend, to fight the good fight of faith in the pursuit of holiness. Now, in verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that, oh, wait a minute, I am reading 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, because I turned to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and as profess a good profession before many witnesses. So Timothy has been pursuing a life of holiness and righteousness. We must remember that the Christian life is a struggle. Our word agony comes from that Greek word translated fight, which is the fight of a good fight of faith. It was used to describe the athletics contest of that day. So the English word agonize was used in both in military and athletic endeavors to describe the concentration and discipline and extreme effort needed to win the prize. We have a prize, a goal to go after and pursue after. But that is a surprise for all of us when we go into his heaven on that last day of prize giving. The good fight of faith is the spiritual conflict with Satan's kingdom of darkness, in which all men of God are necessarily involved. We are all involved in a spiritual warfare. Let's begin to put that in our consciousness. After this service, we are confronted with a spiritual battle. There are demonic forces acting against us. The more we get near to God, closer to God, the more the enemy will stop that. And we must be aware of that. We must expect the unexpected all the time, so that we will not be surprised that these things are true. No wonder Paul continued to encourage Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That's a reality. spiritual warfare of that time during Paul and the apostle is also true today to every Christian. So the good fight of faith is a spiritual conflict of with Satan's kingdom of darkness that we must be all be aware and are involved in every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, throughout the year, until we are called into His glorious home with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the only time that it will end. That's why we need to be wearing the armor of our salvation all the time. And in verse 12, the most important as well, one of the most important words, is lay hold on eternal life. Look at that verse 12 again. After fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. God has called us to be pilgrims to heaven and has given us eternal life. That's why let's lay hold on that. Not to be disturbed, not to be confused, not to be obsessed what the devil uses from the destruction and offer of this evil world. We need these things, finances, food, clothing, but we should not be obsessed with them, that it will actually be competing with someone who has the best of all things in this world. That's the danger. We should not be obsessed with these things of this world. Not only the rich who are unbelievers are subject to this. We Christians are also subject to this, because the more the devil will do all things to move us away from the things that we should flee from and follow after, which is righteousness. We are to show this, that we are pilgrims in heaven, and that we are now a brand new people, brand new person in the Lord. We are to show this to the world and confess it to the world. We are to show this in our own lives by godliness and good works. Look at verse 19. Move to verse 19 in the same chapter. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In other words, they are obsessed with the truths or the doctrines or the teaching of God's word. When we read the words of God and for ourselves, that is actually deepening our knowledge, not only about our salvation and God's purposes and plan for our lives, which the Apostle Paul is urging to seek after, Timothy to seek after and to flee from the wicked world, but to seek after righteousness and holiness, which pertains our present life, our eternal life, while we are in this world. So let us continue to have this good foundation. Let us continue to pray. These are the basic foundation of the means of grace, which is prayer, the Word of God, worshiping God, and fellowshipping with others, and also telling the good news to others. If we are not occupied with these things, a lot of things will settle in our minds, which will prevent us from growing deeper in the knowledge of God and His plan and purposes. So Paul is here in this verse 12 admonishing Timothy to get a grip on the reality of the matters associated with eternal life. The Word of God, prayer, teaching oneself the truths that we receive from the preaching of the Word of God and our time together for Bible study and prayer. We should continue them in this week, throughout the week, that we may always be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, so that he or she would live and minister with a heavenly and eternal perspective. In other words, our life while we are in this world. We should witness, we should be fleeing continually from the attacks and the teaching of this world, but minister with each other, as with fellow saints, and also praying for the lost world. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I must read verse 21 because this is a column, which means we must link this verse 21 with verse 20. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? In other words, while we are still in this world, let our conversations be always in heaven. In other words, the things of God, the things that promote the kingdom of God, the things that steer our faith in encouraging one another, loving one another, pursuing righteousness, holiness, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit that we need to experience, so that while we are in this world, we can be a faithful witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. And even win one soul, at least in our lifetime, one soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this good confession enumerated for Timothy to observe, and which Timothy confessed before many witnesses, is also probably refers to his confession when he was baptized as believers in verse 12. Okay, when verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and as profess a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, when we are baptized, we are proclaim what Christ has done for us. When we are immersed into the water, we died with Christ, right? Because Christ died for our sin. And when we are raised up, we are given a new lease of life, the resurrection life. And that's what the truth we are proclaiming. Christ died for our sins. He suffered for our sins. He was crucified for our sins, and he rose again from the grave. These are the truths that we are proclaiming to the world. What Christ has done for us, living a new life, given a new life, and ready to live continuously for him as a good witness. So in baptism, we profess that we belong to Christ and that we have begun to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. We are encouraged with the example of our blessed Savior in verse 13, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. You can read that. I think I've read that also a while ago, when he witnessed to Pontius Pilate. Like Timothy, we too need to be reminded of our calling to lead godly lives as those who are citizens of heaven. The question I want to ask each of us, including myself, is how are we doing regarding this profession, our profession of faith, not only being baptized, but the truths of our teaching of God's word? Well, I'll mention for just a few the marks of a godly person that needs to be witnessing, like Timothy has done. He witnessed he proclaimed a good confession or profession, not only of his faith, but the new man in him, the Christ-like in him, which is in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, and meekness. But flee from these things, you man of God. That is a present command or imperative for Timothy. And not only for Timothy, but to all of us who profess to be followers of Christ. It's a continual action being commanded by the apostle. We are running, we are always running. In many ways, by thoughts, physically running, chasing after time, and also visualizing, running ahead of time sometimes to achieve something that is worth achieving. If this word running after, which is fleeing, is a continual action from the English word fugitives. We are running all the time. We are fleeing all the time. And from what are we fleeing from? From these things, you man of God, the question that is what things are we fleeing from? If you go back to verse 9 and 10, these are the things that we should run from. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and artful lusts, which drown men to destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. So you can see the result of that day by day to those people whose lives are obsessed with gaining more and more and more. The more they get rich, the more they want more to get rich. That's their obsession. And at the end thereof, what seems right to man is right at the end of thereof is death. Because they are so obsessed with many things of this world, and they don't see their soul plunging into eternal destruction. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare, and Paul is commanding Timothy to flee from these things, from the love of money and the attendant corruption which come with it. You can even go back to verse 5, where in chapter 6, where it says there are some people who call themselves men of deprived mind, deprived of the truth. They are corrupted their minds. They have no truth in them. That's why their minds are depraved. That's a very serious judgment or indictment of having a deprived mind and deprived of the truth. Those men who try to destroy what God has done to his people. And there is a cry for Jeremiah this morning. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Isn't there a bomb in Gilead? And Pastor Mark shows in the Genesis that people use balm to apply it to their diseases, their illnesses. And what Jeremiah is pointing, that is there a balm in Gilead, is actually pointing to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. That's the real balm. for the sins of the world, and to those God has redeemed. These are people who are not after the Baal. That's why the prophet Jeremiah, the people of God, the daughters of men, does not look after, does not seek the Baal anymore. They just look continually the sinfulness, the wicked sinfulness of their wayward heart. Is that they're continually pursuing. But Jeremiah is pointing us as well to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then, secondly, the man of God is not only known for what he is fleeing from, but what he is following after. That is the same word in verse 11. But thou man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness. And that is what we are known for. We are all not only fleeing from, but what you are following after. Flee from those things which deprive us of the truth, that corrupt our minds and hearts, which are enumerated. The love of money and the corrosive effect of the love of money and power. So the man of God, every Christian, should flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. While we are fleeing from this world, we are running after spiritual virtues. We are fleeing temporal values and pursuing spiritual values. Remember those two. We are fleeing from temporal values, but pursuing or following after spiritual values. And this is also a present imperative, indicating continuous action, which are being commanded, not only for Timothy to follow, but to us Christians to follow. We are commanded to be always fleeing and always following after righteousness and holiness. So the negative side, always fleeing the corrupting things and always following after, pursuing the righteous, godly things. Your Christian life is an effort to run from evil. Our Christian life is an effort to run from evil and pursue God. That's what it is. That's the main message. That is what it is for you and me to follow, not only for Timothy, but for all of us. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The Lord loves him that pursues, that run after, that follow after righteousness." You see, the man of God has to ask himself, am I running with all my might? Am I fleeing from the things of this world? Am I fleeing man and pursuing after righteousness? And am I following man? Am I following continuously righteousness and holiness? What am I after? What are my purpose and goal today? This is a question that we must honestly find an answer whether this is true. This is a question not only to members of the church, but also to pastors and leaders in a day where success and fame and esteem and promotion and money and all that stuff is very tempting. And this is in many forms in this world present itself so that we are easily seduced to be conformable to it. But praise God, we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the Triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in us. Paul finally says in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, I have as my ambition to be pleasing to Him. My goal My driving desire is to please God. That's what I'm running after. That's what you are running after. I can be running after success, bigger church, more notoriety, more fame. I have to be running after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. This is the message tonight for all of us. Amen.